I've wrestled with reality for 35 years, Doctor, and I'm happy to state I finally won out over it.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
Highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to January, oh gosh, it's the 17th
yes.
of 2010. Yes, I do know what day it is. I know what time it is, and I really care.
Yes. And that one's sailing right over my head.
Does anybody really
Oh, gotcha.
Know
okay.
What
All right. You know, the sad thing is that song was in my mind a split second before you made that reference. I still didn't get the reference.
Yeah, so. Well, Chicago boy. Happy boy.
Well, what can I say? It's this may well be one of the last shows from this bunker.
You know, it may be. It may be.
Yeah.
We've not really talked about this, but. Those of you who are out there and you might be getting vibes from me that, boy, that Sharon, she's just not posting much. She's not writing much. Is she just on the farm and she's gotten lost in a hayloft somewhere at Farmville? No, actually, in many ways, I have been just not writing because it's difficult to do when Derek and I really are in the midst of praying about where we're going to be living in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty clear that we're not going to be buying this house. We love this house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not going to work out for us to do that this year. So we're starting to look for another place to live,
right?
Because our contract for this house is up in March, around the 1st of March.
Right.
So we are starting to look for a new bunker, and we've seen a number of places, and one place we were so convinced that's where we were supposed, at least I was,
mm-hmm.
and we kept trying and trying over the Christmas break to get in to see it and couldn't get in, and when we finally did get an appointment, we were minutes away. I was getting ready, getting
yep.
dressed to get the car to go see it, and Derek sent me a note and said, oh, by the way.
Yeah, the property group just called and said that they've already rented the house.
The property. So. Yeah, it was a great place with a nice backyard fenced for Sam. Wonderful house, beautiful, two fireplaces. It was going to be great. But there's another place that we are really, really interested in. So, you know, if you want to pray for us, pray that we get, first of all, that the Lord takes us out of here if we're supposed to be out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that the Lord finds us a wonderful new bunker that is very comfortable. We are so happy in a house like this that has so much history to it.
Right.
Because
right.
it honestly feeds into my imagination as a writer. And I just feel really comfortable with maybe mm-hmm. it's my age and I'm old. I want old stuff around me.
Empathize.
Yeah.
Well, and just to be clear, it's not anything that we've done wrong, and it's not anything that is being done to us.
No, it's frankly, I think in many ways, it's just the economy. I mean, it's really difficult for us to buy the house this year.
Yeah, and set of circumstances that are outside our control.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're not complaining about that or anything like that. And
right.
it may well work out as all things do eventually, according to God's plan. So we're not complaining
and
at all.
And once God's plan is clear and we know exactly what we're doing and where we're going, we will let everybody know. But right now, just if you want to pray for us, just pray that the Lord reveals His plan in the perfect timing, and boy, and I'll tell you what, my own life, it's often at the last minute.
It's happened a number of times during the course of our marriage. We were up against the wall, and suddenly, you know, out of the blue, the IRS sends us a check or, you know, that we were owed or something like that. So, you know, it has really been a...
That's funny. Why are we sending out a check to these people?
I don't know. I just really feel compelled.
I don't know. I just like them is all.
So, anyway, we'll know probably by Monday or Tuesday this coming week. So,
yeah, and that's kind of, something that's been brewing now for a while. And almost every week I think, well, should I let people know that this is going on? And as we're getting closer and closer to the actual event, the time frame, we just feel now that
it's been a little distracting.
Bring some people, more people in praying for it. Yeah. So it really is very difficult for me because we were in the midst of structuring our office in a way that was going to have a writing station for mm-hmm. me. And now I'm just not prone to do any of that because I keep thinking, well, I'm just going to be boxing this stuff up soon.
Yeah, exactly. So everything is sort of,
I feel like my whole life is on hold. Honestly, yeah. I really do.
Well, we pray that it will just be for a couple more weeks and then we can be in a either here for a lot, much longer term or somewhere else for.
Or just frozen in
place.
We'll
be somewhere.
Drooling.
Yeah. Heads in jars,
yes.
Waiting for some future date.
Well, see, that's actually.
On to serious things. I mean, because we haven't got problems. I mean, you've watched the news at all.
No, we're not complaining at all. It's just, by way of explaining why I've been a little quiet on the writing front and stuff
sure.
like that lately.
Yeah. But you watch the news since last week, Tuesday, and you see people who really have problems. I mean, talk about horrific. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere to begin with. Mm-hmm. 98% of the forest land in Haiti has been cut for firewood,
yeah.
which leaves the country especially vulnerable mm-hmm. to the hurricanes that hit that part of the world on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And now, out of the blue, what is this? The strongest earthquake
in 200 years.
Right.
It's not an especially active area.
No.
But when it does go off.
In that sense, it's similar to the New Madrid Fault in southern Illinois, northwest mm-hmm. Tennessee, western Kentucky, northeast Arkansas, that Boot Heel, mm-hmm. Missouri mm-hmm. area, that area right there. The last time it blew was about 200 years ago, almost exactly, 1811, 1812.
Gee, I wonder if Haiti went off right before that.
Well, that would be interesting to find out,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't it? I hadn't even thought of that till just now. But when it went, and it doesn't shake very often, but when it did back in 1811, 1812, they felt it in Washington, D.C. and Boston. I mean, church bells were ringing on the East Coast from what happened in the Boot Heel of Missouri. So it is that's similar to what's happened in Haiti. It hadn't happened in 200 years, and they are estimating tens of thousands dead, already tens of thousands buried, mm-hmm. and many, many more.
I posted a link to an article that I thought was so insightful at PID News, and the article was asking the question, what do you do when your church and your church leaders are gone?
Sure.
And I think that is a sobering thought that all of us should ponder, not just if, say, some horrible natural disaster were to hit your region,
mm-hmm.
but the truth is the whole world is going to experience events just like what's going on in Haiti during the final 7-week period,
right.
during the judgments that God sends on the earth. And honestly, one of the kickoff to that, we've talked with David Lowe about this. You and I saw an amazing program with Perry Stone, and mm-hmm. I've asked you to write to Perry Stone and see if you can get him on to talk. So I hope that, I think you did. And
I did. I haven't heard a response yet.
I don't know if we'll hear back or not. I know he's very busy. But he was talking about the power and the energy released
mm-hmm.
at the time of the rapture, not only translating people who have already died and who are asleep, so to speak, in mm-hmm. the Lord, to living brand new creations, into spirit beings, but also those of us who remain, those of us who are alive at the time.
Right.
Which many of you listening right now, assuming that this happens as quickly as I think it's going to, as soon as I think it's going to, that will go as well. And we will be translated so fast, you can't see it. It's just faster than you can blink. And that the question many people who don't buy into a rapture, they take a look at the Bible and say, well, where are all the people in the world going, hey, where'd everybody go?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the reason Perry Stone was speculating based on scripture, it wasn't just he was guessing. He was putting all the scripture clues together, and that it's sort of like a lightning discharge that is instantaneous worldwide that sends out an electromagnetic pulse
mm-hmm.
that knocks out the entire worldwide electric grid.
Right.
Everything with a solenoid or everything with a
anything
computer
with the,
base.
Yes. Right. Anything that's got that uses electronics, mm-hmm. which you know, all of our automobiles do. Heck, even our furnace uses electronics mm-hmm. right now. It's not a mechanical system anymore. Mm-hmm. It's got electronics controlling it. And again, he referenced scripture in a number of scriptural verses, but one mm-hmm. that was particularly important to his study. And he admitted that this was this was speculation, but speculation based on scripture. As lightning travels from the east to the west,
so the coming of man shall be
right. And so he went from there, and using other scripture verses, which I don't have at hand at the moment, went on to speculate that this might somehow point to the way mm-hmm. the believers, both dead and alive, will be transformed at his return. And that's such a huge electrical discharge would basically knock out electronics across the globe.
It's so interesting too, because he brought up several times during his show last week that lightning, the speed of light, mm-hmm. is essentially 186,000 miles per second.
Right.
Essentially, would circumnavigate the Earth 7 times mm-hmm. in a second.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn fast, and I kept thinking, 7 times, isn't that interesting? That sounds like Jericho.
Yeah, I thought of that too. That occurred to me as well. And also, I thought about later his reference to watching Satan cast out of heaven. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning.
Like lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some interesting speculation.
Well, and he got into also talking about how the energy released might also cause a massive earthquake. And, of course, in the mm-hmm. sixth seal, we see a massive earthquake, which is what you and I have discussed with David Lowe in the past.
Right.
That's his theory, that the translation of believers at Christ's return in the air to rapture us up, to mm-hmm. the verb in is harpazo mm-hmm. in Greek. It means to snatch up by the hair, to get out of danger mm-hmm. is what it really translates to. That energy release will cause this worldwide great earthquake. Now look at Haiti and see what's gone on in Haiti mm-hmm. on a 7.0. Now multiply that times the whole world.
Yeah, the earth reels like a drunkard.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've not read David W. Lowe's book, Earthquake Resurrection, highly recommend it. We highly recommend it for a deeper study of this whole concept. It is really an eye-opening new look at the rapture and the physical consequences to the earth of transforming billions, literally billions of mm-hmm. bodies, both alive and dead, at a moment.
Well, if it's true that the North Pole is actually moving, or has been moved.
Mm-hmm.
There's one theory that I've read that it is moving, shifting every year a little bit more, and another one that maybe it has in the past shifted, several times, and we just didn't catch it when it did it. I don't know if it's related to that tsunami. All I know is that they claimed that the Earth, somehow rang like a bell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it is, then a worldwide huge earthquakes everywhere,
mm-hmm.
which may release volcanoes. I'm not really sure what all would happen geophysically once that began. But I would say that if that could cause the Earth to reel like a drunkard and everything to flip, oh my gosh!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would. Well, again, the cataclysm that you see in just the Port-au-Prince area of Haiti, again, as you transform that and magnify that to a global event, it's beyond belief.
It is, and at that point, who's got time to look around and think, oh, where did so-and-so go?
Right, right. And it would be assumed by those remaining that those who were gone were simply victims of the quakes
mm-hmm.
rather than those who precipitated the quakes.
Now, here's an interesting thing. It may seem like a left turn, but Richard Dawkins just came out asking for non-believers, asking for atheists
mm-hmm.
to come out and donate their money to atheist groups so that they can prove to the world that it isn't just Christians, it isn't just religious organizations that help out in times like this.
Yeah. Richard Dawkins, of course, is one of the so-called four horsemen of the, non-apocalypse or whatever. One of the four leading new atheists, along with Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris, and I'm forgetting the other fellow's name, Daniel. Last name escapes me. But anyway, Dawkins is probably one of the most prominent of the four new atheists. And he's got an appeal up at his website to solicit donations from non-believers so that they can, as you say, prove that they're just as moral and ethical as those with religious faith. But the point is, he goes without saying, and I quote now from his website, that donations will only be passed on to aid organizations that do not have religious affiliations. In the case of Haiti, the two organizations they've chosen are Doctors Without Borders and the International Red Cross. Now, those are worthwhile organizations in times like this. Nothing wrong with that. But the point that he's making is that it's not about helping the people of Haiti. It's about proving a point about atheists.
Right. Yeah. Imagine how Dawkins would react if a Christian organization like, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham.
Right.
Were to come. He's very altruistic with it. He's got huge organizations. Mm-hmm. What if he were to come out and say, okay, I want you to donate, everybody, but donate only to us or donate only to a Christian organization. There are other organizations out there that are working hard, but they're not Christian organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Do not donate to them.
Right. I believe that the atheists would use that as and they would be correct, I think.
They would be correct in
pointing out the hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
Of such an appeal.
Exactly.
And
at this time, it doesn't, if you can help, it doesn't matter if you're an atheist, a Hindu, Muslim.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. People are dying because they can't get water, and it's 90 degrees Fahrenheit down there.
90 plus.
Which, about 30 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on the equator, basically. And it's hot. They've got no water. They're dying of thirst.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, forget about just getting food to them. They are dehydrating, and dying of dehydration is one of the most horrible ways of dying that there is, which is why the death of Terry Schiavo was so terrible. But another story.
Well, and we're getting back to the story we started with,
yeah.
Which is if your church and your church leaders are gone, and the people of Haiti have lost so much,
mm-hmm.
They've not only lost their homes, many have lost their families. And many have lost their lives, but those who are still alive have no infrastructure, and that includes their hospitals.
Right.
But it also includes their houses of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are Catholic, and they have nowhere to go for comfort. I think it's automatic with many of us. For instance, when 9/11 hit, one of the first things that I wanted to do, and many in our community wanted to do, was go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And hit your knees. I mean, when you're hit with something like that that feels so close to home, the Haitians must really want to gather.
Well, and it's interesting you mention that, because one of the lead stories posted by the Associated Press this afternoon, January 17th, is how Haitians were gathering in what was left of their churches. They attended, or the reporter for the AP reported from a mass in a parish in Port-au-Prince, and described it as sunlight streaming through, as he said, and I'm quoting now, praising God amid a scene resembling the apocalypse, a collapsed cathedral in a city cloaked with the smell of death, where aid is slow to reach survivors and rescue crews battle to pry an ever smaller number of the living from the ruins. Sunlight streamed through what little was left of blown out stained glass windows as the Reverend Eric Toussaint preached to the small crowd of survivors. A rotting body lay in its main entrance. Why give thanks to God? Because we are here, Toussaint said. We say thank you, God. What happened is the will of God. We are in the hands of God now. And this was, again, posted by the Associated Press today, January 17th, 2010.
That's amazing.
So those who are there, rather than following the advice of Job's wife and cursing God and then dying, are giving thanks to God. Thank you for sparing us and moving on. I pray that we're never tested that way, but I pray that if we ever are, that we would have that kind of strength after such an event.
Well, you don't know until you're put through that.
You know, we talked about Richard Dawkins. It's only fair that we bring up what the comments of Pat Robertson earlier this week. Pat Robertson is one of the most prominent faces of evangelical Christianity in the United States, and he blamed the earthquake on a fabled deal with the devil made by the slaves of Haiti in the early 19th century as they made a deal with Satan to successfully rebel against their...
Was it the 19th or 18th
French
century? It
19th was, century. The, okay. The revolution in Haiti took place in 1802, 1803 against the French. Originally, the island was colonized by the Spanish.
Interesting. It was not that long before that big quake 200 years ago.
The New Madrid area, right? Mm-hmm. So they successfully rebelled.
There.
Oh, if right,
this is
yes.
the biggest quake in 200 years,
that's,
then...
You're right. I'd have to find out when that quake was in Haiti. Now I'm really curious.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's no proof that that story ever happened.
No.
Obviously, voodoo is well established in Haiti, an occult practice, praying and you know summoning demons. But Robertson is way off base here. I mean, this was a reprehensible thing to say, because there are none righteous, no, not one.
Exactly.
And you could. And it's just an established fact in this fallen world that sometimes bad things happen to good people. Mm-hmm. Now, again, in the eyes of God, all of us are sinners in need of salvation.
Exactly.
So why pick on Haiti because this happened to take place there?
For Pat Robertson to say he knows the mind of God so intimately and he is on such terms with the Lord that the Lord told him exactly, I've done this because of X, Y, and Z in Haiti.
Yeah.
And I want you to go out and tell the world that. I just have to wonder sometimes what spirit is working Pat Robertson's
mouth. Pat Robertson is an attention-grabbing media whore.
Yeah, that says it there, honey.
I mean, that is it in a nutshell. I mean, there was a school board.
And he backs off what he says
right.
within a
Somebody
day or
will
two.
Criticize and watch for him to apologize some point this coming week.
He is a staunch... Staunch. That's a good word. Staunch. Dominionist. And one of the early dominionists. And
dealing in blood diamonds
I really
in Africa.
Believe, I know.
Yep.
And it's not that I don't think that good things, don't happen through his organization. I believe they do.
Mm-hmm.
I believe many people around the world have been blessed through the organizational arms of his
CBN.
Outreach. I really do. And I think a lot of people have come to know the Lord and may have received healings. I don't know. I think sometimes I just question stuff that happens on that show. I won't go further than that. But Pat Robertson, after he makes statements like this, and he's made a number of them, he often backs off this statement within a day or two as if I've gotten the headline I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to shut up.
Like the attorney who says to the jury, okay, strike that from the record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's already been planted in the mind of the listener. And sadly, to a lot of skeptics and secularists and atheists, Robertson represents Christian thought, and he doesn't.
That's the point.
Yes.
That is the whole dominionist point.
Yeah.
It's the Dave Duncan point.
Right.
That we're being set up
to take a fall. Now, Danny Glover made a similar statement, and when you look at the reaction of the world to Danny Glover's statement, compared to the statement of Pat Robertson, it appears that Robertson's biggest mistake was not he blamed the wrong deity.
Yeah.
He blamed Yahweh instead of Gaia.
Exactly.
Danny Glover blamed the earthquake on the failure of the Copenhagen Climate Summit
That's
to reach
Mother
a comprehensive
Earth.
Accord.
She's mad.
Yeah, she's mad we didn't, Copenhagen failed, earthquake in Haiti. There we go.
Let's see, Gaia, you're not much of a goddess if you can't take care of yourself.
Yeah. Well, so that was Robertson's big mistake there. If he wanted the world to be happy with his statement, he should have blamed it on climate change instead of sin. So, well, we got that. And go ahead.
Well, I'm going to go to Tracy, California.
All right.
You told me a little while ago that there was an earthquake. Woo,
unexplained.
A UFO, unexplained phenomenon that was just recently seen? over Tracy?
This past Thursday, which would be the 14th, 13th.
Because I found a news article that was from last November. Well, so for how long have they been seeing these?
According to the article, these strange blue lights in the skies over Tracy, California have been reported for several months.
Okay, let me play the devil's advocate.
Yeah, okay.
Have they, is Tracy anywhere near a military base?
I would have to look. I would say probably. I mean, there are a couple of prominent Air Force bases,
just wondering
military
if
bases in
perhaps,
California.
Some sort of prototype that's being tested over Tracy. I know that there are Predator drones now that are flying. Like it or not, people, there are Predator drones flying over our skies.
And you posted the story to PID mm-hmm. News, the video to PID News last week of the test in Houston.
Yeah, the Houston
drone
Police Department.
Spy over Texas. But this blue light seemed to rise and fall and blink on and off, according to witnesses. Mm-hmm. Began around 7:30 p.m. local time in California and stayed there for a couple of hours. So based on the length of time that it was up there, the witness who was cited in this television news story said he doubted that the lights were any type of remote-controlled plane or drone. Now, those things can stay up in the air for hours and hours on end. The Predators that fly over Afghanistan and Iraq are designed to stay up in the air for a long, long time as eyes in the sky for the CIA mm-hmm. or whoever is, you know, on the controlling end.
Yeah.
But don't know. I mean, it could well be that there's a very good earthly explanation for it.
Could be, but Tracy, California has also been in the news for other reasons.
Yes.
In fact, you looked at me and you said, what is it? What is it about Tracy, California?
So the name rang a bell.
It did. So I did a little looking, and it doesn't take long. Just type Tracy, California into Google, and on the first page of hits, I got an article. It's at AOL News, and we will link to this article if you would like to read the entire mm-hmm. thing. It's from April 16th of last year, and it's all about Sandra Cantu, the young 8-year-old girl who was murdered. You see, we were shown video for days of little Sandra Cantu skipping mm-hmm. across the street in front of her own home and disappearing. And you didn't know what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out that she had been murdered by the daughter of a local so-called preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this church, quote-unquote, that is involved, that the woman went to, that the father pastored, supposedly, if I remember the stories correctly, had practically no one going to
Had practically no members, right. So yeah. How could she be a Sunday school teacher at a church where there were no members?
Exactly. Yeah. The whole idea that it being mm-hmm. a church, very questionable. Very,
right.
very questionable.
Seemed very, very strange.
It was very odd. Well,
but
apparently Tracy is known for more than just that, sadly.
Yeah.
It says here, the area has never experienced anything like this, according to Tracy Unified School District. These past 2 months have been very difficult. The article goes on to talk about how this Sandra Cantu was the fourth criminal case, and this is why the quote, this area has never experienced anything like that. It was the fourth criminal case involving juvenile victims in a town of only 78,000. That's a pretty small town, and this is over the course of just a few months
mm-hmm.
that they had four really evil crimes take place. In December, an emaciated, bruised, nearly naked teen with a shackle
mm-hmm.
Attached to his ankle ran into a Tracy gym and begged for help. The 17-year-old employed, "Hide me, please hide me," to the employee, the worker there. Four people, among them the woman who was the boy's legal guardian, have been arrested on charges including torture, kidnapping, and false imprisonment. In February, and I assume this is all last year,
mm-hmm.
a plastic surgeon was arrested after several women came forward and accused him of sexually assaulting them in his office. He was eventually charged with assaulting 64 women.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? In March, a substitute teacher was arrested after he molested 12 girls at the elementary school. These are all things, including the Sandra Cantu case. These are all things that took place in Tracy, California.
In 2009, right?
In 2009, and in 2009 we see these weird lights in the sky.
Right.
We're talking about spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
That sometimes includes UFO encounters.
And we've talked to, this is one of the things that Dave Duncan talked about when we discussed his background in the occult before finding salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, in how some of their gatherings in a New Age setting with their guru, their mentor, and how often they involved unidentified flying objects hovering over their gatherings on, you know, the mountainside in Arkansas or wherever they were. This is not an uncommon phenomenon. There are people who report seeing things like this at Medjugorje,
mm-hmm.
a site of one of the mm-hmm. more prominent Marian apparitions, this is in Bosnia. They often, you know, people there will report seeing things in the sky that they can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
So the connection between these sort of spiritual encounters and what, you know, ufologists would look at as, visits from extraterrestrials sort of coincide. Now, mm-hmm. what's happening over Tracy might be a purely terrestrial thing. Somebody testing out a new drone, or maybe California flying a drone that they haven't told the locals about, but just thought it was an odd coincidence that we'd bring to light. And if you're in California, we'd sure appreciate hearing about anything that you might have seen or have heard about, because that area there, that's not far from Modesto, Stockton, that whole area there,
exactly.
which was the Scott and Lacey Peterson.
Exactly. There's something about that whole area, and you yeah. and I have talked about territorial spirits
right.
before.
Right.
It's as if they are doomed to wander a particular area, or they've staked claim, dominion over mm-hmm. that area, and you know they get to rule over whatever humans happen
right.
to live there.
Now, I know that some people have, private email expressed concern about the doctrine or the belief that there are territorial spirits, because it's something that's very prominently taught by one of the leading dominions, C. Peter Wagner. But we see it in Scripture
mm-hmm.
when Gabriel visits Daniel in the book of Daniel and reports that he was delayed for 2 weeks by having to wrestle and contend with the prince of Persia. Now, clearly he wasn't contending with the literal prince of Persia, King Cyrus or Xerxes or whoever was
no.
the king at that point. He was talking about a spiritual entity. And so that much is scriptural. What is not scriptural is the way Wagner and Rick Joyner and others like them take it a step further and say that we have to reclaim dominion from those spirits mm-hmm. before Jesus Christ will return. That is not scriptural.
No, it is not.
Right. So we need to draw a distinction there. No doubt that those spirits exist. It's how we respond to them. I mean, those spirits will be here until Jesus Christ returns. And we are not going to hasten his return by one single day.
Well, I think that just as Satan himself offered power and authority to Jesus Christ in the desert during a temptation,
mm-hmm.
I suspect that it is not unusual for local entities to offer power and authority to humans who are willing to listen.
Sure.
And it may be, you know, just to someone who feels, serial killers, for example,
mm-hmm.
who feel like they have no power among a peer group, you know, to if that person somehow gets pulled into an occult circle of friends or on his own or her own, begins to study about occult topics and has an encounter or a meeting or a dream or, you know, for what Dave Duncan is a good example, not mm-hmm. that he did those things, but when he was very young, he encountered a number of men who had essentially sold their souls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you get. I mean, these entities want to take out humans. They want to render as many of us useless. And, you know, it's the old notch in the belt, I've just stolen your soul kind of activity that is almost comical. I mean, we see in cartoons over and over, angel on one shoulder, devil on the other
right,
shoulder.
Right.
But the truth is that there is a spiritual warfare where these entities really are trying to steal the promise of God from us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ died so that we may have eternal life, and they want to take that away from us.
Right, and they employ a number of means of to do so, and in fact, that's leads to just sort of a tease, I guess, for the interview that was posted earlier this afternoon for this week's View from the Bunker program.
I was hoping you'd
I talked
that.
To Paradox Brown, who is the author of two books that she makes available at her website because she believes that it's important information that people should have in their, you know, at hand. Essentially, it's a modern guide to demons and fallen angels. In fact, that's the title of her first book, Modern Guide to Demons and Fallen Angels.
There you go, right there.
And she
even had it underlined.
Yeah. Essentially, it's I wouldn't say lengthy in the sense that it's, say thorough is the correct word, thorough Bible study mm-hmm. on the topic. Most of what you find on the internet when you do a search for fallen angels or demons, I was a little disturbed because I was looking for a graphic to put up with the interview, and you do an image search for fallen angel or demon, and you get lots and lots of pictures of scantily clad women.
Or you get Dan Brown
Or you
books.
Get Dan Brown books.
Or you get the Lesser Keys of Sodom.
Right. So the bottom line is most of the information is not coming from a scriptural viewpoint.
And the truth is that there are a lot of teenagers and young people who are very interested in
very interested and very hungry
and
for this information.
And that's what they're getting.
Right.
Whoa.
Well, we talked about this a couple of years ago. There was a TV show on the ABC Family Channel called The Fallen, which focused on one young man, a teenager, who discovered that he was one of the Nephilim, mm-hmm. but that it was his destiny to save mankind from the fallen angels who were really evil. Now, we know that the Nephilim are the bad guys. They're the baddies. And mm-hmm. but that's not the message that was being presented in Family Channel
he
program.
Was being presented as the salvation for the Nephilim.
Exactly, the salvation.
He was their Messiah.
Yeah, and we know that that's not going to happen. And we talked about, with Paradox Brown, the history of the fallen angels recorded in the Bible, some references that come from the Book of Enoch, and which parts of the Book of Enoch she believes are trustworthy and why. All of that is in her book, available at ParadoxBrown.com. It's a You read it online. It's available at no charge. If you want a paperback copy, you can buy one. So you've got the hard copy but it's all scripturally based. And that, I think, is important because, as our friend Lynn Marzulli says, the Bible is the ultimate guide to the supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But my background, at least in church, is that you just don't ever hear preaching on the topic of angels, especially fallen angels or demons. Now,
you don't. You don't. And it's very tough to find a really good starting place if you've never encountered, mm-hmm. If you've not read much of the Bible to start with, but if you're sitting there listening to us and you're thinking, okay, I'm either not a Christian yet, I just really don't know about this stuff, or I've not been a Christian for very long, or my church never mm-hmm. taught this, just like
right.
you were saying, where do I start? Well, there are a couple of good places to start. Paradox Brown has a great book.
In fact, that's why she wrote the book.
Exactly. She takes it from her own experiences mm-hmm. with, frankly, alien encounters mm-hmm. that were disguised, you know, demons disguising themselves as aliens.
Right.
You can go to Mike Heiser's book, all about the Divine Council. And what is the final title of that book? I know that
The Myth That Is True. I don't know mm-hmm. that it's been released yet. I'll have to check on that. But he does have some introductory papers available in PDF form, Adobe Acrobat documents, at his website, The Divine Council, all one word, thedivinecouncil.com.
There's another book that is available now, and I highly recommend it. I honestly, you know, I haven't quite completed reading it, but I'm almost there. Like I said, I have shelved many things over the last few weeks, simply almost out of, okay, I'm just going to wait upon the Lord. And it's been the strangest thing that, okay, I'm just going to, maybe today I'll get that information and tomorrow I'll start. It's almost like I've been frozen in place. If you've ever gone through it, then you understand. It's a book called Ancient Myths in the Bible, and it's by King Wells.
King Solomon Wells.
I know. And it is, I have to tell you, King Wells writes this in a very approachable way. He's not dumbed it down. He's getting right to the heart of the matter. It's easy to follow. It's easy to understand. He takes you through the topic A to Z. You really need to take a look at it. And it's a great price. It's an ebook that he's got available at Lulu for it's only $9.87. Come on, we've all got about 10 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend that you go to that. We'll put a link to the place where you can go to download it. Pick that up. It's a good starting place. And from there, you can go on. And Mike Heiser comes at it from more of an academic's approach. And again, he doesn't dumb it down, but he writes it's a little more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you can't understand it, but honestly, if you're just delving into the topic, I think the King Wells book is a great place
to start. Well, I'll make a note. You mentioned this to me last week, and I'm remiss. I should have contacted King. I'll see if we can get King Wells on for an interview to talk about the book. Again, the Divine Counsel is an important concept, we believe, mm-hmm. because it relates back to the cosmic wrestling match that Paul mm-hmm. writes about in Ephesians chapter 6. We're not wrestling against human opponents. We're wrestling against these supernatural entities, the princes of the air, and the powers and principalities, the princes and powers, the rulers of spiritual darkness. They are the enemy. And mm-hmm. most Christian churches, well, let me backtrack. My experience in the Christian churches I've attended, several denominations, Protestant and Roman Catholic, have not really touched on the topic at all. Now, the Independent Baptist Church we attended for a while did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also the first place I ever attended church that preached on prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And really opened my eyes.
And Lord love them, they really emphasize scripture memorization.
Yeah, which is why you'll see in our writing, if you've read any of the fictional works that we've done in the Laodicea Chronicles, under the Laodicea Chronicles banner, we try to encapsulate and incorporate this cosmic wrestling match into the fiction because we believe that's the way the universe really works. And when I wrote The God Conspiracy, it's kind of a nod to the preachers at that little independent Baptist church. I mm-hmm. sort of based one of the characters there on sort of a composite of the two preachers mm-hmm. there because I really respect what they did and really appreciate what I learned from them. I also, and I haven't seen anyone comment on this, I also gave a nod to Guy Malone and Russ Dizdar in the book. One of the characters shows up wearing a T-shirt with the Alien Resistance Headquarters logo on it on one of the pages, and nobody caught that. So,
oh, maybe they did, and they just they were so engrossed in the book because honestly, it's really good that they just forgot about it and forgot to send us a note about it.
Well, anyway, just a little tribute to people who have inspired and kind of directed our research and thought on the cosmic wrestling match in which we're engaged. So yeah, King Wells definitely going to try to get him on to talk about his book because it's a real important, it's a very important primer. And again, we encourage you to listen to the interview with Paradox Brown and read her mm-hmm. research into demons and fallen angels. They're not cute. They're not sexy. They are the oldest and still most dangerous threat to mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us who should be at the forefront of this battle are totally ignorant.
You know, they're not cute. They're not sexy. And sadly, they're being portrayed one way or the other in most media.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, coming from just about every channel you can name, you will find shows that are targeted toward teens and people in their 20s that present the spiritual warfare, but it's from a very twisted point of view.
Yes.
A good example is a show called Demons that's coming on. It's on BBC America right mm-hmm. now. It's coming out of the UK, and essentially it's empowering young people to believe that they can fight these entities
mm-hmm.
essentially with white magic.
Yes, that's what it boils down to. Now, I saw one reviewer who kind of tongue-in-cheek called it Buff the Vampire Slayer.
It's a bad show.
It's derivative.
Poorly
it's,
written, yeah.
Yeah. It's basically a ripoff, a rehash of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which mm-hmm. is the same sort of thing, that
right.
You can't defeat black magic with white magic.
Right.
Except that the lead character is a hunky young guy instead
exactly.
of a cute young girl.
But sadly, shows like that, even if they're poorly written, they'll still gain an audience
they will.
Because they help a lost teenager feel like, hey, I can be powerful too. If I just kind of dress in a goth kind of way, or maybe if I really look over into this dark side for a while. And sadly, some of the quote unquote enemies, the evil demonic forces that the hero is supposed to be fighting, they're presented as very sexy, very powerful, very dark, very, you know, you have to be super, super special to be one of us. It's an enticement to a lost young teen.
It is. And there are a couple of movies that are coming out that listeners have pointed out to us. Our friend Jack Meadows sent a note about a forthcoming movie starring, Dennis Quaid, called Legion.
Yeah, that's coming out, and The Book of Eli is coming out.
Yeah, we just want to touch on those very quickly. We, just from the summaries of the movies, theologically way off base, as they usually are, Legion is premised on God losing faith in humanity and wanting to wipe out or prevent the second coming of Jesus Christ. But
God,
of course,
decides he's going
he's
to prevent
the second,
coming.
Right.
That's crazy. He's in control of it.
Exactly. Well, apparently a woman on earth is pregnant with Jesus Christ, who's going to be born for a second coming. Now, we know from prophecy that's not going to happen. Christ is coming at the head of the heavenly host.
Amen.
As a with a sword from his mouth, and he's not pleased. But in this movie, Legion, Michael has decided to rebel to save humanity from God. And he then takes a small group of survivors, including the second Mary, apparently, to protect them from Gabriel and the other angels. Now, the only thing that would make this movie worth watching is if Christopher Walken played Gabriel again, but that's not the case. So
more cowbell.
No. Yeah.
More cowbell.
So anyway, there's that film, and then there's The Book of Eli with Denzel Washington, in which he, in a post-apocalyptic Earth, it's always post-apocalyptic, he's got the only copy of the Bible left in existence, and he's got to protect it against all comers. And, of course, he's not just a preacher, he's the butt-kicking kind, you know, which is, again, so theologically way off base. The interesting thing is that one reviewer said, oh, Christians are going to love this. Why? Because a preacher's out there killing people to protect the Bible? You know, Jesus told us that his word would not pass away. Not one period or comma would pass away until all things were fulfilled.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Right. So, both movies.
Sorry, brain just shifted into, it's turned to goo.
Well, Sam is still in his bed. That doesn't means we're not done yet.
I know we're not done
yet. He'll start.
You know, it's the it's cold outside. I don't know why, but for some reason, I have been really, really cold today, and there are just moments where I simply stop functioning altogether.
I just seize up, huh? Need one of those things that they used to have. My mom talked about these in North Dakota, where you just sort of plug it into the wall socket and then clamp it on to, you know, the car. What do they call the head bolt heater or something? You need something like that for people. You
just, for people who have diesel engines.
Yeah, well, yeah. If it's on a cold day, you're kind of seizing up. You just kind of.
I definitely need one of those. Well, we've got and we've got it's that thing we put on our back, the heater thing. Sorry, see, my brain is just not working.
Heating pad.
Thank you very much, honey. Yeah, I'm a bright person. I'm a writer. I choose words for a living. A heating pad.
Oh, my.
There are times that I get that out just to stay warm so I can think. I don't know why it is I'm so cold the last few days.
Well, clearly you need to switch from 5W to 5W30 in the coffee. The oil's too thick. That's the problem.
I know. We have a new coffee maker, by the way, and that made me so happy.
Oh,
that was our anniversary gift to each other. New coffee
wonderful.
Maker.
Wonderful. Speaking of films, a film that's on its way to becoming one of the highest grossing movies of all time, from the same guy who did the previous highest grossing film of all time, James Cameron, Titanic, and you know other stuff, Avatar. Apparently, some people are getting so caught up in this movie, this CGI film Avatar, that they're leaving the film, looking around at the world around them and seeing the drab, dull, gray reality in which they live, and getting depressed to the point of considering suicide.
I saw that story, but that may even go hand in hand with another story that you wanted to talk about, I think. The yeah. suicides going on in France.
Well, this is, yeah, this is kind of bizarre. And this is, you know, let me do a little digging on this here. Story that I stumbled across as I was reading.
They all work for the same company, which is essentially the government.
Right. France Telecom, which is the monopoly for landline telecommunications in mm-hmm. inside France. France is a socialist country. And like most – no, let me back up. As with many government jobs, it's difficult to
– can't get fired.
You can't get fired, right. I'm trying to find a nice way to put it because
and
I know that
we – that's the truth. If you can get a cushy government job, but very often you can't get fired.
Right. And what's happening in France is that the combination of the lousy global economy, thanks to the bankers, and the fact that people are switching to cell phones means that suddenly France Telecom is finding itself, for the first time ever, I think, needing to downsize people. And according to some articles that have popped up, one of the weird stories to come out of 2009 is that some three dozen employees of France Telecom have committed suicide over the last year because of stress at work. And one example, a 32-year-old former law student threw herself out of her office window after emailing a suicide note to her father. This happened last October. Another fellow said that management by terror had driven him over the edge.
This sounds like something from the God conspiracy.
It is really bizarre. I mean, we talked before about the rash of suicides in Bridgend, Wales, in the
yes.
UK. This is taking place in France at France Telecom, where workers are apparently so terrified by the thought that they would be downsized out of a job or reassigned to other duties that they're killing themselves. What?
But what if that isn't the reason that they're doing it?
Well, that's
what if there's a
right.
spiritual component to this? Just as there may well have been in Bridgend, that there in Bridgend, it was constantly said, well, these kids are really from a depressed economically depressed area, and you know they're just doing this because one person started it, and now they're all imitating that because that person got so much attention, and they somehow feel that their life is going to be worth more if they commit suicide, mm-hmm. which makes no sense whatsoever. But I don't think that that's it. I think there's a spiritual component to this.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I overstated the numbers. Three dozen attempted suicides. 24 people were successful. Another 13 were not successful. But this has been a hot topic of conversation in France over the last year as they try to figure out why these people are so stressed, so terrified, apparently. Again, this is what the secular view would have. You know, why is the thought of being downsized or reassigned so terrifying? But you're right. There's a spiritual component mm-hmm. here. What if the secularization of France?
You didn't restart.
No, I didn't restart our timer. We're at 52 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll restart the timer now if that'll help.
Well, but, Sam, the timer has gotten up out of his bed, and so clearly somewhere along the line,
getting close.
We're getting close.
But the spiritual component. Perhaps the secularization of Europe in general, France in particular, has something to do with it. There is no there is no inner strength that comes from the Holy Spirit in so many of the people over there. I mean, if all there is what you get out of this life and then nothing.
There's a scripture that talks about the peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
And that is so true. There's no matter what your circumstances. If you turn to the Lord, He can give you a peace coming from the Holy Spirit
right.
that you simply can only get through that. And it makes no logical sense to us that someone in absent, like the people in Haiti,
right.
they're singing, they're praising the Lord,
right.
and they're dying like flies.
Amidst the rubble of the fallen cathedral mm-hmm. with a dead body in the doorway, they're there giving thanks to the Lord.
Exactly.
And that passes my understanding.
It does mine too.
Yeah. And
I have a head knowledge of it, and I have a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I know that His blood covers me and saves me, and I have that redemption in my life, but I've not been tested on this earth physically that way to have dead and dying all around me. And what will I do at that moment? How will I react?
Yeah, it's and you contrast that kind of strength with the people, these two dozen suicides at France Telecom. And you look at the circumstances, 4 days, 5 days now in 90 degree heat with no water, very little food, and yet giving thanks to the Lord versus somebody who is stressed about having to work five more hours a week in a company where one writer says France Telecom is a place where people go to do nothing and make a living at it.
And contrast that with the picture that we get in the book of Revelation when judgment after judgment after judgment comes out against the people who remain after the rapture takes place, after the Christians are no longer there. And those who have turned their backs on the Lord God Almighty and decided they hate Jesus Christ, those judgments have the opposite effect. There's that saying that the sun can either soften or harden. The sun, you know, great heat, great testing can either soften your heart or harden your heart. It hardened the heart of Pharaoh.
Right.
It hardens the hearts of many today. It will harden almost every heart during that last 7 years. So if you don't know Jesus Christ now, don't for 1 minute say to yourself, I'll do it when they all disappear.
Right.
I'll immediately know that's it, and I'd better turn to Christ then. And I'll do that then. No. Because you know what? It's going to be really tough to do.
As the Holy Spirit is...
The Holy Spirit's ministry will change at that point.
Right. And it will become more and more difficult to make that commitment.
It will.
I mean,
it
if you think peer will. Pressure is something now...
Yeah.
Think about peer pressure when there are no Christians left...
Right.
To fellowship with.
There's a reason mentor. Why the body of Christ, the church, is called salt and light. We preserve the earth the way salt does. We add savor to, you know, the entire presence of God here. We bring the light of Jesus Christ through our lives.
Yeah. Or at least that is what our calling is.
Exactly. And it's because of the Holy Spirit working in us.
Right.
That ministry will shift.
Yeah.
During that final 7 years.
Well, we need to make hay while the sun is shining, as the saying goes.
Well, sadly, we could talk about this for hours.
Yeah.
Sam has just jumped up on the couch, and it's his official.
Yeah. 5 minute warning.
Yeah. It is. He's blown the whistle. We had a couple of Skype calls, and one of them, well, I'm not really sure what this guy was saying.
Yes, it's very mysterious.
Yeah.
We'll just let you listen and see.
I am El Fordo. I, El Fordo, am very disappointed that you would accuse El Fordo, the greatest of all luchadors, of causing the current world economic situation. I, El Fordo, would ask in the future that you do not use my name, El Fordo, as a... how you say, technical term when referring to the current world economic situation. If I, El Fordo, hear you are not respecting the name and majesty of the world's greatest luchador, El Fordo, you will feel the wrath of El Fordo in the form of a strongly worded letter from my lawyer, Mr. Gutierrez. El Fordo thanks you.
Well, we... have to confess, we do know the secret identity of the mysterious El Fordo. It's
El Cabong.
It's our good friend Taylor Kent, aka the Snarky Avenger, whose Snark Tank Radio is a brilliant diversion every week. And by the way, he'll be using a piece of my Flash Fiction in one of his upcoming Snark Tank Radio.
Will
episodes.
He really?
Yes, featuring on Nerdcore. which is a style of rap music, in case you're wondering. Anyway, he was referring to a story that we did on the economy, some discussion of the economy we did back in our last program of 2009. And I talked about the economy going El Fordo, you know, just basically rolling up like, you know, a cheap wrestler. But, you know, Mr. El Fordo, all I can say is if the fancy, brightly colored tights fit, then wear them. So, yeah, it is interesting that Barack Obama, President Obama, is talking about this tax on the banks, and a lot of conservatives and the banks themselves are squealing No, we don't want to pay. Well, look, you know, you could have lobbied against the TARP plan when it was first proposed under the Bush administration. But I don't recall Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs or Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan saying to Congress, no, don't give us the money.
Yeah.
Look, if you guys didn't need the money and you took it anyway, then somebody should be brought up on charges of fraud for telling us that you did need it.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, sadly, and this takes us back to Haiti where we kind of started, the news cycles are being chewed up with Haiti, and I think they should be because I think that's the story. But it gives Washington, D.C. an opportunity to do some backdoor maneuvering without a whole lot of sunshine on their activities.
Yeah, it does. And interesting, you got politicians of all stripes looking at this as an opportunity. I mean, the Heritage Foundation, which is a neocon think tank, posted a position paper that we should use this as an opportunity to counter the influence of Hugo Chavez in the Caribbean. Look, just as we said with Richard Dawkins, set the politics aside. Just save the people who are dying.
One more thing, though, about all of this. The theme from The Odd Couple should be playing in your heads. Because Bush 43 and Clinton are on the trail.
Yeah, that then.
November 5th, 2004.
George W. Bush is elected president, sort of. Anyway.
We do want to say thank you to several listeners.
Yes.
Christine Carbaugh, man. Interesting.
Wonderful
handle
name.
There. Dean and to Jared for all the things that you've done for us. You've helped us out at PayPal. We really, really appreciate that. And if you know, if the Lord leads you and you've got a little extra money, that's fine. We really do appreciate it. And but, you know, your prayers mean just as much to us.
Amen to that.
Thank you to every one of you who are also praying for us.
And we would encourage you at this time to see about finding a good, reputable ministry that is working in Haiti to deliver water and food where it's needed. So we encourage that. But again, thank you, because we deeply appreciate your support.
Amen.
Email address, radio@peeringintodarkness.com. And that 24/7 voicemail line, if you want to leave us a call, you'll find that at the website, pidradio.com. It is country code 1-317-489-9350. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new and living in the past, God can do a new thing now in a kingdom that will last. He'll make a way across your wilderness like a river. A new day coming now.
cutting edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.